So this week is Parshas Nusoy. Vayedaber Hashem and Moshe Lemer, God speaks to Moshe saying, Nusoy, raise as Rosh B'nei Gershon, the heads of the children of Gershon, Gamhem, them also, the base of voice to their father's house, L'mishpachosim, their families, Miben Shleshim Shana V'mala, from 30 years upwards to 50 years, you should count them, all those who come and gather to do the temple service. What is the service provided by the family of Gershon? Venosus Yirios HaMishkan, they carry the curtains of the tabernacle. And they carry the roof fabrics, the leather and the goat skins, and all the hangings that separate the mundane from the holy, and the holy from the holy of holies. Now, in last week's Seder, after the Yidden are counted, and last week we were talking about the Degolim, the flags, the four major camps that surrounded the Mishkan Tabernacle, the Degel Machne Yehuda, who represents Chesed, and there was the Degel Machne Reuven, who represents Rachamim. There was the Degel Machne Ephraim, who represents Tzedek and Mishpat, and then there's the Degel Machne Don, who represents Tzedek. So, at the end of last week's Seder, the Torah says, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe ve'al Aaron, Lemor, God spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying, Nosoi es Rosh b'nei Kohos. I want you to raise up the house of the family of Kohos, mitoich b'nei Levi, from among the sons of Levi. So Levi had three sons, Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. Kohos had four sons, Amram, Chetzron, Amram, Yitzhar, Chevyon, and Uziel. So Amram has two sons, Moshe and Aaron, and daughter Miriam, and Yitzhar has sons, Koirach, and then Chevyon and Uziel. So that's the family of Kohos. But Kohos is not the firstborn of Levi. The firstborn of Levi is Gershon. And then there's another son, another brother called Merari. So Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. So first, in last week's Sedra, the Kohos family is elevated also from 30 to 50, and this is the service that they provide, that Aaron and his children, they come into the sanctuary and they take down the curtain, the peroiches, that is separates the holy from the holy of holies, and they cover the ark, they cover the Oron HaKodesh, and then they put on a leather jacket over it, and then a tcheles, blue wool, and there was the table, the menorah, there was the incense altar. All these things have to be carried, and the job of the B'nai Kohos is to carry it. And the Torah warns, it says, after Aaron and his sons have covered everything, right, when the time comes to move the tabernacle and to take it, you know, to put it into pieces and to carry it, because the camp is about to move. So the B'nai Kohos, that's their job, but they're not allowed to touch it when it's naked, right? And it says, V'lo yigu b'koidesh el ha-koidesh v'meso, so they shouldn't touch, and if they touch, they'll die. So Elozar was specially appointed, Elozar the son of Aaron was specially appointed to make sure that they did their job properly. And then, almost at the end of last week's Seder, the Torah says, Al tachrisu es shevet mishpachos ha-kosi. Make sure you don't kill the family of Kohos from among the Levites. And this is what you should do to them so that they can live and not die when they approach the Holy of Holies. And then finally, the V'lo yavoyu liras kevalas ha-kodesh, the last phrase in last week's Sedra is they shouldn't come to see the holiness being swallowed. You know, in other words, they shouldn't see the naked ark, and they would, chas v'chalila, God forbid, they would die. That was how last week's Sedra ends. This week's Sedra begins, Noso Yisroish b'nei Gershon gam hem. I want you also, God says to Moshe, to count Gershon, and then finally, after Gershon, we get Merori, and their job is to carry the kroshim, to carry the big boards, wooden boards, and the silver sockets that made the framework, the skeleton of the tabernacle Mishkan. So, over the years, we've been learning Ishbitz from the Meir Shiloch, and the Meir Shiloch points out that why does the Torah say Noso Yisroish b'nei Gershon gam hem, count the children of the house of Gershon also? Why wouldn't I have thought that they get counted? The Torah has to say also, and he says, yeah, because the way that Gershon worships is so extreme that I might have thought that that's not counted, that's not a way. Wherever Gershon comes to a question, should I or shouldn't I, he says, no, I shouldn't. If anybody says to him, you know, that could be doubtful, that's a gray area, he never went in his life into a gray area. In the whole Torah, we never find Gershon getting into trouble. And the Ishbitzer says, you know, that's not a way of worshipping God. You know, you don't take any risks. If you don't take any risks, how can you get any? So there's an interesting Medrash. The Medrash begins, Medrash Rabbah begins this week's Sedra. Noso Yisroish b'nei Gershon gam hem, count the, elevate the heads of the b'nei Gershon also, quotes a verse in Proverbs 3, Yikorahim mipninim, referring to the Torah. The Torah is more precious than precious jewels. Pninim, sometimes we call pninim pearls or just precious stones, things that have great value and rarity. Yikorahim mipninim, but the Torah is more precious. So the Medrash says, Tininon Tamon, quotes a Mishnah Gemara in Hoidrius, Bavli in Sham, Chocham Koidim Lemelech. A sage comes before a king. It takes precedence over a king. Why? Mes Chocham, if a Chocham dies, Ain lona kiyotzpa, we've nobody to replace him with. If a wise person, a sage, dies, who are we going to replace that wisdom with? Mes melech, if a king dies, nu kulan roin lemalchus, we'll pick another king. What's the big deal? Anybody from the tribe of Levi, tribe of Yehuda can be king. Hamelech koydem lekoyin gudel. A king takes precedence of a high priest. Shenema vayom hamelech lehem. Brings a verse from 1 Kings to prove that first the king and then the high priest. And then the Medrash says, a kohen gadol koidem lenovi, and a high priest takes precedence over a prophet. Brings a Moshe choyse sham tzedekah kohen v'nosan anovi, that talks about how they anointed him. And it was Tzodek HaKoyen and Noson HaNovi. So Tzodek HaKoyen, he was the Kohen God, he was the high priest, and Noson HaNovi was the second. So the Medrash goes on and talks about all the different levels. Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, if the high priest has been anointed with the anointing oil, so he takes precedence over a high priest who hasn't been anointed, who's just wearing the clothes, the 8 clothes of the high priest. And a prophet comes before somebody who's appointed as the chief over the war, and the one who's chief over the war comes before the vice, the stand-in, like the vice Kohen God or the vice high priest. And the vice high priest comes before the head of the watch, and the head of the watch comes before the head of the house, and there's a whole list. And it goes on that the Levi, the Kohen, of course, is before the Levi, and the Levi is before Yisrael, and Yisrael comes takes precedence over Mamza, and Mamza takes precedence over Nosin, Nosin to Ger, and so everybody's got a level. So then the Medrash goes on to say, Amosai, when does is this order, this pecking order, this precedence, this protocol, when does it apply? Bizman Shikulan Shovin. When everybody is equal in stature, intellectually, or in piety, whatever, then you have this order. But imhoye mamzer talmud chacham. But if you've got a mamzer who's a talmud chacham, who's a scholar, and you've got a high priest, kohen gadol who's amoritz, like in this during the time of the Second Temple when the high priesthood was an appointment, you know, a royal appointment that came through Rome and the government and so forth. So very often the high priest was just somebody who could pay more money to get himself appointed and anointed. So if you have a mamzer, a bastard, right, somebody who's born of an illicit sexual union, but he's a talmud chacham, he takes precedence over a kohen gadol, a high priest who's amoritz, who's an ignoramus. So then the Medrash goes on to say, and the Talmidin, Sovrin, Meima Liftois, they decided that this is a halacha, that if you've got two captives, one is the high priest and one is a mamzer, who would you redeem, ransom first? And they said, well, if the mamzer is a Talmud Chacham and the high priest is a amoritz, you would redeem the mamzer first. They said, but what about in normal everyday life, right? When you come into the yeshiva and you've got two people coming in at the same time, you've got the high priest who's amoritz and you've got mamzer Talmud Chacham, maybe out of just a protocol, you know, you would seat the high priest first and say, no, even the yeshiva also. And then the Medrash says, Dova Acha, another way of learning this pasuk. Oh, so to come back to a moment, why the Medrash says this? Because Yikorim Ipninim, it's quoting a verse, Yikorim Ipninim, more precious than jewels. But it's a play on words. Pninim means inside the inside, right? We talk about the Kohen Godel goes Lifnayu Lifnim. Inside the inside, he goes into the Holy of Holies. So the Pninim, Yikorim Ipninim, the one who has Torah is more precious than the one who goes into the Holy of Holies. Then the Medrash says, another pshat, another explanation of this verse, Yikur Mipninim, Medaber Bekahos VeGershon. It's talking about Kahos and Gershon, these two families of Levi, Alpha Pisha Gershon Bechor, even though Gershon is the firstborn, right? Levi has three sons, Gershon, Kahos, and Merari. So really, Gershon should take precedence. He should come first. He should have been quoted last week in the Sedra. But last week we had Kahos. Only this week we have Gershon. And even though we find Shebekol Mokem Cholek HaKosev Koved LeBechor, everywhere in the Torah gives honor, honors the firstborn. Yeah, but here we don't. Why? Yikorahim Mipninim. Because Kahos is carrying the Torah. The Torah, so he takes precedence over Gershon, so he comes first. So again, the Neoz Deshe, the son of the Ishbitzer, he asks, this Medrash didn't have to go into Mamza and Kohen Gadol to get to Kohos and Gershon. What's he really saying? And he says, see, generally, in my personality, if I have problems, I can't really be whole unless I fix my personality problems. So if I have, anger management problem, I can't really be a whole person. I mean, what kind of a madregas, what kind of saint, what kind of saintliness am I going to aspire to if I can't hold my temper and I blow up and I start to curse and rant and act out and get violent? So So it's all very nice. I'm a very nice person. I'm a very nice person to know, to get to know me, fine. I'm great. I'm very kind and loving. Yeah, until you cross me. And then I go off like a box of fireworks and I explode. Yeah, it's not gonna work, right? So anything that I aspire to in a world of spirituality or a world of social graces or whatever it is, you know, if I've got problems, those problems, those mumin, those blemishes are going to prevent me going up the ladder and achieving enlightenment. I can't achieve enlightenment, you know, if I go off on the person who's, you know, giving me my medal, you know, and you know, I mean, Mishka Mensch. So there's one difference, though. It's like if I throw myself into the Torah, you know, so very often we have problems, right? Eat like a glutton. A Mensch fresst sich aus. So what kind of spiritual program can a person be working if you put a bit of food in front of him and he turns into, you know, turns into a garbage disposal unit? You know, sitting at the table, right, making a mess of himself. What's he going to do next? And the answer is, you open up a chumash. You open up a Torah and you start reading, Standard Mensch, you've changed into somebody else. Or you haven't changed into somebody else, but you're not in acting out. The Torah is one way a person can bring themselves with whoever they are and jump right in and be a Bal Madrega. And I can bring my rage, and I can bring my lust, and I can bring my gava, my pride, and my sneer. I can bring it all and open up a Blat Gemurah and open up a page of the Talmud and bring it. And in that moment that I throw myself into the Torah, it doesn't really matter all my madrigas. It doesn't really matter all my problems. It doesn't matter the fact that you stick me in front of food, I turn into a chazer. If you stick me in front of a woman, I turn into a lecher. Or you stick me in front of a poor person, I turn into a snob. I'm sitting in front of the Torah, and I'm a student, a Talmud. So the Ishbitzer says that this is a pshat here. There's a connection between the beginning of the Medrash and the end of the Medrash. Kahos and Gershon have two completely different outlooks on the world, and they appear to us, they come over completely different. Gershon is so careful not to do anything wrong. Like the Rebbe explains, you know, he's carrying all the boundaries, the curtains. Whenever he comes to a boundary, he stops. He doesn't try and penetrate or step over boundaries. He wouldn't think of it. Kahas gets into trouble. Kahas. We find Koirach. They had to invent a whole new Gehenna for Koirach. They have to, you know, make a new temperature there in hell for Koirach. Koirach's got problems, all kinds of problems, and it's not just Koirach. Kahas. Why? Because they take risks. They jump into stuff. They say yes. Gershon says no. And Kahas says yes. All kinds of events eventuate from the attitude of Kahas. So says the Noiz Desh, says the Rebbe, says that's what the message in this Medrash that isn't really being explicit. So you could be a mamzer, but you take precedence over Kohen Gadol. Gershon is the Kohen Gadol, he's the Bechor, he's the Holy of the Holies, when he's holy, right? But you know something? Kahas, he's thrown himself into the Torah, and the moment you throw yourself into the Torah with your whole body, then you're a Mamzer Talmud Chacham, who is higher than the Kohen Gadol. It doesn't matter what your fault is. Look, it can be even so big. Like the metaphor of the Mamzer, how could a person be more blemished? Nevertheless, a Vav Tzacharan in the Torah, a person throws himself, plunges into the Torah immediately. It's different, completely different. Doesn't have to go up level by level. Doesn't have to claw his way into enlightenment by, you know, working through all this karma and fixing this and fixing this. Gornished. Tzacharan geworfen in the Torah, he threw himself into the Torah. He changed immediately. And so much so that Kahas isn't even in this Sedra. As we were saying, Kahas is in last week's Sedra. Gershon, we don't even get to Gershon until this week. Kahas belongs in the last week's Sedra. That's how far ahead he is. And again, how many times? 3, 4, 5 times in last week's Sedra, the Torah warns, be very careful, don't let Kahas come to any danger. Don't let him kill himself. Don't let him look and harm himself. And you make sure that the tribe, the family of Kahas, shouldn't be cut off. Al tachrisu eshevet bnei Kahas. So, what does it mean? So the Rebbe says like this. The Gemara says, Gudl ha'oina yoisim ha'mevorach. The person who answers Amen is greater than the person making the blessing, right? A person says, Boruch atu Hashem, blessed are you, God, who brings forth fruit from the tree. And somebody answers Amen to that bracha. So they get a greater reward than the person who says the bracha and blesses God, the person who says Amen. So the Medrash, it's a Medrash in Devarim, Pashas Kisavoy, that says an Amen, when you answer Amen, you're doing three things. One, you're swearing an oath that it's true. You're saying, I'll do it. And you have faith. One, you're swearing it's true. You swear. Amen is a shavua. Base, Amen is a kabbalah. You accept upon yourself the duty. Three, you believe that God is going to give you the koyach to fulfill. So he says that the three families of Levi, Gershon, Kahas, and Merari, they represent these three aspects of the Amen. And what's the bracha? The bracha is what the Yidden did, you know? The Yidden, we all came together and we all donated money and stuff to the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. And then Bezalel and Uri, and we built it. We finished it. That was the bracha. Along comes Levi and says, Amen. Levi is the one who says Amen to our bracha. And in doing so, he swears that he will make it happen. He swears that he will carry on his own back. And he has faith that God will give him the strength to follow through. So Last week we were talking about the pasuk of Ve'erastich li b'tzedek v'mishpat v'chesed v'rachamim. That these four aspects represent the four degolim, the four encampments, the four flags, the divisions of the Jewish people. But there are three psukim of Ve'erastich. The first verse says, Ve'erastich li le'olam, and I betroth you to me forever. The second verse is, Ve'erastich li b'tzedek v'mishpat v'chesed v'rachamim, and I betroth you to me with justice and the law and the chesed and the compassion and the kindness. And then the third verse is, Ve'erastich li be'emuno, and I betroth you to me with faith. V'yodatis Hashem, and you will know God. So the Rebbe says that the three families of Levi represent these three pesukim. Ve'erastich li le'olam represents kahas. Kahas is the Torah. The Torah is forever. The second, ve'erastich li b'chesed v'rachamim, that represents the tribe of the family of Gershon. And ve'erastich li be'emuno, and I betroth you to me with faith, that represents the family of Merari, and they are camped in the north, where we said last week the tribe, the flag of Dan. So last week we were saying that we betroth God to us with this ring, Isha Tesoviv Gever, that the ring is a square ring made of the four encampments of the 12 tribes, of the four personality traits, right? There's Yehuda, who has this, you can see clearly that everything is the hand of God. There's Reuven, who throws himself constantly on the mercy of God and is doing teshuva. There's Ephraim, who represents the whole shevet of Yosef and Binyamin, who are so full of yira, fear, awe of God. And then there's Dan, the tribe of Dan, who constantly are afraid that they're going to do the wrong thing. That's part of our personalities, who we have to be. We have to have all those four personalities, and they surround the Mishkan inside us. They surround the tabernacle inside us. But inside the ring is the tribe of Levi. And Levi are these three families of Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. So the fact that part of me is bold, like Yehuda, and can see constantly how everything comes to me from God, I still need an executive branch. I have a legislative branch. I need an executive branch. The three executors of my desire to worship are these three families of Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And the family of Kohath, they jump right in and they say to me, I'll carry it for you. I swear to you, I will carry it for you. And Gershon jumps in and he says, I swear to you, I won't let it go wrong. I won't let you do the wrong thing. And Merari says to me, Heshi, I have faith that your derech, I have faith that this way that you've chosen to worship God, I have faith that we together, we can make it work. Then the Sedra comes to the parasha of the Nesiim. So the Medrash says, it's interesting actually that the first mention of the Sefirot that we have anywhere in Kabbalah comes in this week's Sedra. Esa Sefirot, Asorah Zohov Melei Ketores. nowhere in literature, Jewish literature, before this Numbers Rabbah text do we find reference to 10 sephiros. So what happened? The 12 Nisim, the 12 princes of the tribes, they came and they made an offering. Because the Medrash says what had happened is that when originally Moshe had said everybody should donate, the Nisim, the princes, they held back and they said, you know, when people are finished donating, whatever the temple fund is short of, we will make it up. And the people brought Dai V'Hoisa, they brought more than enough. Marbim Ho'am Lahavi, day after day, until Moshe had to say to them, no more, don't bring anymore. So the Nisim were very sad that they'd lost out. They weren't able to donate anything. Everything had been donated. So a strange thing happened. They said to themselves, you know what? The Levim, the Bnei Merori, who have to carry these big, huge boards that form the skeleton of the tabernacle with these sockets of silver, each one weighs 100 weight, and there were 100 of them. This enormous burden. Let's make carts, and they'll be pulled by bullocks, and they'll be able to lay the boards out on, they won't have to carry it. So they brought 12 bullocks and 6 carts, 2 bullocks to a cart. So each of the Nisim, they came in pairs, and they brought these ox carts, and they brought this offering of gold and incense and sin offering and so forth. And they came to Moshe, and the day of the dedication of the temple, they said, here's our gift to the temple. And Moshe was thunderstruck. Moshe didn't know what to do. Who gave them this idea? And so the Torah tells us, Vayhi b'yom kalos Moshe lehokim es ha-mishkan. It was on the day that Moshe finished setting up, erecting the Mishkan. Vayakrivu nesiyei Yisrael heim nesiyei ha-matos. And the princes of Israel, the 12 princes of the tribes, Vayoviyus karbonim lefnei Hashem. And they brought their sacrifice, their offering in front of God. So Moshe didn't know what to do until God said to him, Kach me'itom, take it from them. You know, the Gemara says that the Nisim, they did 3 things which a person shouldn't really be allowed to do, but it was allowed. One, they brought on Shabbos. Normally, the only offerings that are offered in the temple on Shabbos are those that are public offerings. A private individual can't bring an offering on Shabbos. And the Nisim, over the 12 days, they brought on Shabbos. Well, at least one of the days was on Shabbos. Two, an individual doesn't offer incense. Some incense is part of the certain offerings, but just an offering of incense, person doesn't bring, an individual doesn't bring. And also, an individual can't bring a sin offering unless it was for a particular thing where he went to Beis Din, and Beis Din says to him, this is your kapara for this sin, you bring a sin offering, but just to offer a sin. Nevertheless, God says to Moshe, Kach me'itam. The Medrash says Moshe was very, very upset. He says, how did they know to do this? Was this some kind of a prophecy that they had to bring these ox carts to carry the... How come I didn't get this prophecy? And here the Rebbe says an interesting thing. God says, Kach me'itam. You know, even if you have a Torah thought, you have a halacha there. Halacha occurs to you. So you realize that according to the Torah, this and this is how you should act. That's a nevuah. That's a prophecy. So Moshe was astonished that God is telling him, yeah, it's the right thing to do. So he says, well, if it's a prophecy, how come I didn't get it? And God says to him, Kach me'itam, take it from them. It wasn't a prophecy. So Moshe says, if it's not a prophecy, if it's not a Dvar Torah, if it's not a Torah thought that occurred to them, we need to bring this, offer this, then what is it? And he says, it's Rachmonus. You know who the Nesiim are? The princes are those who, when we were in Egypt and we had to bring every day a certain amount of bricks that we had to make, and you know, they would count the bricks. The Egyptians would count the bricks. And if we didn't produce the number of bricks, somebody got whipped. So the Nosi was that person who said, I'm the one who didn't bring the bricks, and he took the whipping. He later becomes the princes of the tribes. The Nosi looked at Merori and he said, what's going to happen? For 40 years we're going to run around in the wilderness, and Merori is going to have this back-breaking labor of carrying these huge beams and these sockets of silver that weigh 100 weight each. 100 weight is like 112 pounds. Each of the sockets weighed 100 pounds and more. And Moshe, he thinks to himself, you know why didn't it occur to me? Because that is the job of Merari, to carry this. You know, everybody has their burden to carry. Everybody has their burden to carry. And this is the burden of Merari. This is how they work through whatever it is they have to work through. The Nosi is the one who can interfere with that. So I don't care what destiny has destined for you, what kind of hardships. I'm stepping in. And so God says to Moshe, Kach me itam. And this whole saga of the Nesiim, it had to come like that. It had to manifest that way. The narrative has to be that the Nesiim didn't give their offerings when everybody else gave their offerings, so that this parasha in the Torah could stand here on its own, so that these three things they brought on Shabbos. Who heard of such a thing, that a person can bring a private thing on Shabbos and gave it, and it's written in the Torah, it's forever. We read this on Hanukkah, we read this Shabbos, this is a big thing, the Nesiim. And each one of them had the same idea individually. So if we come back, last week we were talking about the four aspects of the personality. And this week we're talking about the Levi, who's the executor, who jumps in and says, I promise you, I swear, I'll make it happen. This thought that you've had, a way of worshipping God, this path you've chosen for yourself, I swear I'll make it happen. I take it on myself. I will carry it on my own back. And that part of us which is kahasis, and I will jump in wherever there's a suffix in a gray area, I will jump in. And Merari says, it's okay, I have faith. And Gershon says, and I'll make sure that nothing goes wrong. And there's one more part of us. That is the prince who has rachmonis. The prince who has compassion on the self. And he says, I don't care really about what the law says that I am able to do. There has to be this element of rachmonis that is above. And when we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, when we talked about the covenant in the second mission of the fifth chapter of Sefer Yetzirah, it talks about the covenant that runs through the sephiros. Five on this side and five on that side, and there's a line that runs through the sephiros from the beginning to the end, the bris, the covenant. And we talked about it there. What is it? It is the rachamim. It is the compassion that flows. And so Moshe, even Moshe has to learn that there's something that can come above the law, above the halacha, above the nevuah, higher than the prophecy. Kach me itam. And this is the parasha of the Nesiim, which is haflevefele. It's absolutely miraculous.